Nick DiGilio here. Yeah, man. It's a Thursday morning. Happy Thursday to everybody. We're getting closer to the weekend. It looks like it's going to rain for the next 3 years, so get used to it. we're live here on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower overlooking a wet Michigan Avenue that will remain wet for the next 3 years. And we're going to talk theater right now, which is always one of my favorite things to talk about. As you know, I've been doing theater in this city for like 15 years and no longer than that, 21 years. Wow. Okay. I just made myself feel real old. I've just been doing it for a couple of years.
Jillian, don't tell your age now.
Yeah, you can. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Those other voices that you hear is artistic director of Brightside Theater, Jeffrey Cass, who's never been on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Get a little closer to the mic. And then someone who's been on the show, you don't have to swallow it, man. It's okay. someone who's been on the show repeatedly, Jillian Weingart. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Always good to see you.
Thank you.
We were discussing the strange mixed reaction in this room over the Tonys, which I thought to describe in appropriate words was fabulous. I thought it was just great. I loved it. And Jeffrey, not so much.
I don't know. I mean, it didn't have that big giant production number that I always look forward to. Like, I thought maybe they were saving it to the end, and
that Aladdin production number was pretty big.
Yeah.
That was kind of a showstopper
I was disappointed in the Aladdin production number because they were like, this is the number that get everyone on their feet. And
in the theater because I saw it in New York, like, and it didn't translate well to TV.
And I literally was like, that's what I'm
saying. That guy was unbelievable.
He deserved.
I haven't seen the production, but if it's any, if that one musical number is any indication of how good he is in that show, he deserved that Tony.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and like, we were talking about it we had a cast viewing party.
Of course you did. You're in theater.
I'm in theater.
Yeah.
And we were just in awe. He's playing the genie, and he's a huge guy.
Huge.
But he, like, belted, like, this high note at the end, and I was like, his breath control is unreal.
Yeah. It's amazing. Unreal. I look at that. I look at a guy like that, the size that he is, and he's overweight. He's a big dude.
But he has, like muscles.
No,
too.
But like to see the way he moves. When I saw him come out on stage,
really well.
When I saw him come out on stage, I'm like, this guy's gonna play the genie.
Yeah.
And then within a minute of watching the number, I was like, oh my god,
he's the genie.
Yeah.
He is the genie.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about what I liked. And you said it turned into the Hugh Jackman show.
Yeah, I did.
Which was fine with me because I love Hugh Jackman, and that was one of the things that I loved most about it was that most award shows the host comes out. Does 5-8 minutes at the top, and then is gone.
Yeah.
Gone. He's not,
the last couple of years, MPH did pretty great.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I mean, he came in and did his bits here and there, but it didn't feel like it became the MPH show.
Yeah.
Like it did every commercial break, we're coming in and breaking into a musical number that we missed because of commercials. And I
thought it was cool, man. I did. And, Neil Patrick Harris, have you seen Hedwig?
Yeah.
Is it great?
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
It was actually like my fifth time seeing a production of it.
Yeah.
So seeing it from like no budget to multi-million gargantuan
dollar budget. I saw it years ago and it was no budget.
Here in Chicago?
No, I saw it in New York.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. At the Jane Street Theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The original.
Yeah, the original. Yeah. And I thought it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just great.
I mean, it was really cool. I can't believe that the stuff he gets away with on stage, though, on that kind of level.
Yes. It's...
I mean, spitting on the audience. Not
literally.
Like take water.
Yeah.
Come out and spit. The first number, he just
spit on the audience.
Get it.
That's when I heard it was actually going to be, this big production on Broadway. I was like, well, they're going to cut the hell out of this thing.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought they were going to change it. They're going to cut it. There's no way that this thing can be on, family friendly Broadway. It's dominated by Disney.
Yeah.
But there it is.
I mean, look at this season, though, the different topics. I mean, you have Harvey Fierstein's new play. You had a Terrence McNally play. You had Hedwig. I mean, it's.
And by the way, I also loved.
That's also next to like Beautiful and like.
Right.
Other big family friend, like Aladdin, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But that was another thing that I loved about the show was when they actually had the real playwrights introduce their plays.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That was cool,
that's
man.
Awesome.
And then putting a face.
Yeah. That was really cool. I love John Patrick Shanley.
Yeah.
Love him. He was hilarious, too.
Yeah,
everybody else was kind of serious. Well, Terrence McNally, I don't know. so I love the Tonys. I don't know. It made me happy.
I do too. Don't get me wrong. I was just slightly disappointed. Yeah. And the camera work was crazy.
I got dizzy at one point. I was like, really? But I was also into like my third glass of wine. So
sure. Yeah, I was sober because I had to work that night. So
oh, yeah.
I couldn't drink wine and like I normally would. I'd have some cocktails while watching it, but, you know, so. All right. So, you know, we've talked to Jillian a few times. We'll get your background a little bit. But since, Jeffrey, you're new to the show, tell everybody about your background, where you're from, and how'd you get into theater and
stuff
like that.
Sure. I grew up just in the western suburbs. I went to school to Roosevelt University and got my degree in musical theater performance there. And shortly after graduating, started getting into the directing chair and really kind of liked it and kind of been there since.
Yeah. What are the challenges? I've never directed a musical. I've directed a lot of plays, but I've never directed a musical. What are the specific challenges of directing a musical as opposed to just directing a play?
There's so many moving parts, because I've directed plays too. There's just, you have a lot more creatives in the room with you. I mean, you have a choreographer, you have a musical director, and it's so much collaboration across the board. I mean, when you're the director of a play, it's just kind of like you, right? And the actors. But it's nice to have those other creatives around you to bounce ideas off of and work off of each other. And I find comfort in that, honestly.
So you prefer directing musicals over?
No, I like going back and forth. I really do. I really do, because they feed you in different ways. You know?
I directed a show that had music that had musical numbers in it, but I wouldn't. It was called GIs in Europe. Mm-hmm. It was a factory production, and it was a takeoff of Elvis movies. Mm. So it was absurd, ridiculous. You know, he's on leave. Elvis is on leave, but he's not Elvis. We had a different name for him. His name was Chet, which was Elvis's name in a few movies. I think his name was Chet in a few movies. So, but the movie was sort of based on. Girls, and all the GIs movies that he made, and so my friend who wrote all the music, he wrote a bunch of songs that were inspired by Elvis songs, and we had those in there, and we had a little choreography, but not much. We wanted it to look, we didn't actually want it to look like a live musical piece of theater. We wanted it to look like a cheesy, cartoony 60s movie.
So the set was
very, very fake and brightly colored. Yeah. The acting was the costumes were very bright and the choreography and the singing was purposely tacky. Because, you know, they're bopping their heads around, or they're driving a car and everything is moving behind them and they're singing. That's the style we were going for. So it was more of a cinematic takeoff.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't call that I guess it's a musical.
It's a play with music.
Yeah.
Play with music.
I mean, look at Audra's show, speaking of the Tonys. One would have thought that was a musical. No, it's a play with music.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got to take a quick break, you guys. Hang on. Mm-hmm. We've been chatting. Sure. You know you guys have a show called Cabaret. You knew that, right?
Yeah.
I think that might be why you're here.
I think that's why we're here.
Okay, we'll stop chatting like idiots and we'll talk about Cabaret. All right, take a quick break here. Jeffrey Cass, the director, and Jillian Weingart from Cabaret are here. Quick break. The news is next. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 o'clock. After 3 o'clock, we'll be joined by Pat James, who is a professor and the director of the Center of International Studies at USC, and we're going to talk about the current situation in Iraq and many other things. That'll be coming up after 3. And we're going to talk about the best child actor performances in movies. That's coming up as well. So, right now, in studio with me right now are Jillian Weingart, who is playing Sally Bowles in Brightside Theater's production of Cabaret, and the director as well, Jeffrey Cass, is with us. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk. Well, first of all, let's talk about Brightside.
Sure.
Tell me about the theater company, how long it's been around, and your mission statement, all that good stuff.
Sure. Cabaret is actually the closing of our third season, and we are a company that is Naperville's only professional theater company, and we perform in the downtown historic district, which is really ideally situated because it's free parking and close to tons of restaurants, and you can just walk in between, and it's really convenient that way. Our mission statement is we're there to produce comedies and musicals that entertain, educate, and enlighten.
Mm-hmm. And now, what are your past productions? What have been some of your past productions?
So we started everything off with Ray Cooney's farce, Run for Your Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a Neil Simon, The Dinner Party, and then a Frank Sinatra review. Just to kind of give our first season was kind of a sampler of what people could expect from us.
Sure.
Then second season we did Stephen Sondheim's Company, God of Carnage, and Rent. And then this season we did Moonlight and Magnolias.
Bleacher Bums.
Bleacher Bums. There
oh, you
go.
Did Bleacher Bums?
We did Bleacher Bums, oh. Yeah. And then now Cabaret.
Now
and
Cabaret.
And you did your children's show,
yes,
Little Mermaid.
This is our third season, but our second season for our kids program. So we do one show a year where kids ages 8 to 18, everyone who auditions gets a part. We started the first year with Alice in Wonderland with 7 kids. This past spring, we did Disney's Little Mermaid, and we had like 21 kids and sold out all 3 performances in our theater. And then next season, we're doing Aladdin.
All right. Well, that's very, very cool. It sounds eclectic. I mean, you go from God of Carnage to Rent.
All comedy. Well, comedy, yeah. <You know. laughs> God of Carnage was that comedy, you know, entertain, and then Rent was enlighten, you know?
Yeah.
There's no reason why you can't walk away from the theater enjoying yourself but also taking something with you, which Cabaret does really nicely.
Yeah. Did you direct God of Carnage?
I did not.
No, okay.
I did not.
I love that play, by the way.
It is a great play.
It's a great. I think Polanski screwed it up in the movie.
I have yet to see the movie because I heard such bad things about it. I didn't want to, you know,
don't
get a bad taste in my mouth about it.
Just don't see it. All right, so Jillian, let's get your background a little bit to remind people.
I graduated from Western Illinois University with a BFA in musical theater. Then shortly after that, I came to Chicago. I was probably in Chicago for like 6 months. I did maybe 2 professional shows, moved out to LA for a couple years, and then came back. And I've been doing theater professionally in Chicago for about 2 years straight now since LA.
What was LA like for you?
Beautiful.
Did you move out there in order to be in the business? Was that a conscious choice?
No, I moved out there just because I'd never been out there, and I was just graduated college, and I was like, I really hate the winter. So I went out to LA, lived on the beach, and did some really great equity theater out there, and was in Hello Dolly for a long time. I helped write and workshop a musical out there too, which was a really fun experience. It's still going on now. If anyone's in the Riverside area of California, go see Moments to Remember. I helped write that, and it's still going on now, and I came back.
For those people who don't really know, what's the theater scene like in LA? Because, you know, you don't think theater when you think LA. You think movies and you think TV.
I was lucky enough to be in Long Beach, California, and there they have 2 equity houses that are really awesome, so I got in with them. And then because I was involved with Stiletto Entertainment, which our musical director of Cabaret was also involved in, which puts entertainment on cruise ships. And so I got involved with them, and my vocal coach from the cruise ships actually helped me get into a bunch of the other theaters out there, which is not a lot. If you're looking for straight plays, I would not go to LA at all, but definitely have a really, I would say comparable to Chicago, like a great musical theater spot.
Did you want to come back to Chicago to pursue theater here?
Yes. Yeah. I was so homesick. And my cousin actually moved out there with me. And while I loved living a block away from the beach every day, I knew that I was definitely going to come back to Chicago for sure.
Beaches here, too.
I know, but they're not the ocean.
It doesn't matter. It's water.
Sometimes the waves get pretty high out there.
That is very true. It's like the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about Cabaret. This is a pretty, this is a pretty iconic show. How did you tackle it, Jeffrey? What was your take on it? Because there's been so many different takes on it, and we were just talking about the Tonys, Alan Cumming.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on right now in New York. And it's a pretty interesting take on the show.
Yeah.
I saw it at Studio 54, and thought it was great.
Yeah.
That was just absolutely great. What kind of style are you going for this production?
Well, you're right. That's that production that you saw is like the 4th major rewrite of the show. I mean, it's interesting to follow the history of the show and the themes that the writers wanted to originally tackle in 1966. They had to pull back on because the producers were scared that it would alienate itself and never find an audience and just be a big old flop. So through the years, the writers were able to, as society changed and became more open and accepting to the radical ideas that it possesses at times, it's been able to change with the times, but keep the same kind of message that the creators originally wanted. Because they originally wrote it during the time of all the civil unrest here in the States, right? And that was the point they were making. They used World War II, Nazis, and the Jews, and that conflict to kind of represent, like, nobody has a right to control another group of people. And that's what was trying to happen here in the States. sadly enough, it's still happening in some aspects of the United States as well as around the world.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunately still very timely of a piece of theater. But what I love about our production is the 1998 revival, which is the one you're talking about, that Alan Cumming's in. Sam Mendes really put a stamp on that to go for the way to have the audience, I think, feel like it would have felt in 1929 being in the Kit Kat Club and be as titillated, if you will.
I like that word. That's a very good word. That's well, a very good word.
Well, it was set up. I mean, the way it was staged was you felt like you were in the club. I mean,
And we do that as well. We just don't go for the S&M look as much as that drugged out, skanky look.
We bring
as
a lot more
does.
Classy fossiness.
Well,
to
we
the
bring
show.
More of the humanity out in the characters, and that's Absolutely. What I really wanted to go for. The show was originally written to be the MC's story, for those of you that are familiar enough with the show. And through the years, especially the movie with Liza Minnelli, it became Sally's story. No offense.
No, I don't change. Sally's character does not change at all during
the
story.
I mean, the MC is the one that's the MC for the show, for the Kit Kat Club, but he's the MC to the audience through this journey that the audience is going on from start to finish of the show. And it was my desire to want to bring that more forward and then find the humanity in all these characters around.
Who plays the MC in your production?
David.
Mm-hmm. David Ganowski.
Ganowski, yeah.
David Ganowski.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a part.
Yeah.
I mean, man.
And he plays
well,
it beautifully.
It's great because there's so much freedom with it, but in some aspects that's scary because he has no scenes with anybody to like learn who his character is. Like, you know, when you go to acting class, what do those say about you? How do the people talk to
sure.
you? And that informs you who you are and how your character is, right? And I think that can be scary at times, but working with him and together and with the concept of the show, we kind of found who that character was.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, like, opening night, it was so fascinating. At the end of our show, you could hear a pin drop. The audience was just captivated by him in that moment.
He takes the audience in the palm of his hand.
He does.
Like,
he really
night.
Does.
That's great.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do that if you're playing that
you
role. That's
yeah.
it. Now, Jillian, how do you feel about playing an incredibly iconic role? You know, and you mentioned the movie, you know, Liza Minnelli.
I mean, it's Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
It's so funny, my relationship with the show Cabaret, period, as a script, as a piece of theater. I was in the show when I was 17. Don't tell that director because he thought I was 18. And I played Frenchie, one of the Kit Kat girls. And I was so disappointed that I wasn't Cabaret or I wasn't Sally. And the director was like, Jillian, you understand you are 18. I was really 17 years old. You're not like wait 10 years. And I did wait 10 years. And I finally got to play it. But I mean, ever since I was in college, everyone's like, oh, I had really short black hair in college. And everyone's like, you look like Liza Minnelli. You look like Liza Minnelli. You have a timbre to your voice that's very much, you know, you can sing her style of music. I even drink gin on the rocks. That's like my drink. And that's Sally Bowles. Like, I've always had a connection to this show.
Yeah.
And I've unbeknownst to me. And
But you don't come off as Liza at all. You've
no.
made it solely your own.
Right. I mean, I told David, our MC, I'm like, I'm not Liza.
Right.
Darn it. I'm not Liza. But so many people have told me that, like I was telling my friends, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm playing Cabaret or playing Sally. I don't know why I keep saying that. I'm playing Sally in Cabaret. And one of them turned to me and they're like, no, you don't understand. You are Sally. And everyone's been saying stuff like that to me my entire life. So I just go on stage and I just transform into this crazy bipolar woman.
Now, did you audition for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you heard that they were doing a production of Cabaret, did you go, I got to get it?
Oh, well, you guys were at ITAs, and that's how you found me.
Yeah.
And so I went to the Illinois Theater auditions, and you just go, and you don't really know what theater is going to be there. And then probably like a week later, I got an email from Brightside Theater, and they're like, oh, we loved your audition at ITAs. Will you come audition for Cabaret? And I was like, yes, of course. I mean, I've auditioned for every production of Cabaret in Chicago, and I'm always called back for Sally.
And there was
always.
Like four, I think we're the
fourth. And I was called back for every
single
one of
them. Major production of it this year, this season.
And I was. And then, so this one, like you kind of, as an actor, you kind of feel it in your bones. I knew the minute I got that email, I'm like, getting it. Like I just felt it. I don't know what you just. I just, and I did, and I even wore like a fur coat to my audition because I knew I was gonna have to use it in one of the scenes that I was reading for. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna bring my fur coat and I'm gonna use it in the scene. I just got the email and I was like, I'm gonna get this role.
Now, did you have to call back? Were there other?
Yeah, we had callbacks too.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Now, how big's your cast?
17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are people doubling up?
Yes, the woman, like she's like old or something. The young lady who plays Fräulein Kost is also Fritzi, one of the Kit Kat girls in the show, and then she also doubles up as the song "If You Could See Her." There's two I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but she plays the gorilla that's in that scene as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So you said it was written in '66.
Mm-hmm.
And
the original version. Yeah.
When did the original production open on Broadway?
It
opened in '66.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did Fosse direct the original production?
No. He directed the
movie.
The movie.
He just directed the movie. He never directed it for stage.
No, just the movie.
Yeah, totally directed the movie and choreographed the movie as well. Mm-hmm. And that's where Cabaret actually got the Fosse-ness from. It originally didn't have like a.
Yeah, it was interesting because he really dived into the artwork of the time. And if there's the name of the German artist is escaping me right now.
And you showed me those.
But
pictures.
Yeah, there's portraits that the characters in the sitting in the cabaret in the movie are these like living portraits now, because he just literally he just immersed the movie and all the characters from this artist's look of life at that time. And we used some of those paintings for inspiration for costuming our production, because they're a great, you know, peephole into what society looked like and what the clubs looked like at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Sounds great. All right, well, here's the deal. It's playing at North Central College in Naperville, Brightside Theater's production of Cabaret. It runs through June 29th, Friday and Saturday shows at 8, Sundays at 3, brightsidetheater.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page to make it easy for you. Just go to facebook.com/NickDShow. Quick break. We'll come back, okay?
Perfect. Great.
All right. Jeffrey Cass and Jillian Weingart are going to be back with us on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Coming up after 3 o'clock, Professor Pat James is going to join me to talk about some serious stuff that's happening in the world right now. But right now, we are talking about Cabaret, a production that you can see at the North Central College in Naperville. It's Brightside Theater's production. Jeffrey Cass and Jillian Weingart are here. I was looking at some of your credits. You directed Rhinoceros.
No, I was in Rhinoceros.
Oh, who'd you play?
Grocer. You played, and then a rhino.
You played Grocer and a rhino. I was in Rhinoceros back in 2002.
Yeah.
And I played Botard.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
Just had the one scene.
Yeah.
And had so much fun. There was Sean Graney directed it. It was a Hypocrite's production.
Oh, God.
And so so he gave me a lot of freedom just to do. I was only in one scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, I auditioned for Berenger, mm-hmm. and I thought I had it. And Sean was acting like I had it. I was part of the company then.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah. And then he calls me up and I pick up the phone and I'm like,
hey,
you're going to offer me Berenger. And he goes, no, I'd like to offer you Botard. And I was like, what? And so I took it because I love the play and, yeah. you know, yeah. and I wanted to be in it. But I decided I was going to do one. I'm in one scene.
Yeah.
I'm going to tear it apart. And I can't tell you the number. I'm in that show for one. You know
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a short show. It's a short scene. I mean, one scene. And I can't tell you the number of times I got recognized from that show.
That's
like
awesome.
People were like, "You were my God!" Because I made the conscious choice. I was so pissed I didn't get Berenger. I was like, "Well, that's it, man. I'm stealing this scene."
And you did.
And I did. It was awesome. I love that play. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's such a great play.
Yeah, becoming a rhinoceros, that was fun.
How did you do it?
Well, it was back in college. There was like a moat around the stage that was made, and as the people became rhinoceroses, I think we had masks or something, and we had to like make noises and like stomp around while the
Sean
scenes
had,
were going on.
Sean
and then
had
that last scene. Just all hitting the stage and everything was shaking.
He progressively took away things from the set.
Yeah.
And so during like the final scene, there were like holes in the set, and he had paper mache rhinoceroses coming in.
Gotcha.
And they shook the entire set, and stuff would fall from the ceiling. It was really cool.
Yeah.
The one thing, there's another great memory about that show is I had the one scene in the first act, and then me and the guy who played the boss of the I can't remember the character's name. Manny Tamayo is the actor's name. He and I would go out it was at the Athenaeum. He and I would go out on the balcony and get drunk, and we'd come back on stage for the curtain call, smashed.
Smashed.
Yeah. We purposely didn't volunteer to play rhinoceroses because
just
we wanted
so you
to drink.
Yeah. that sounds like something I would
do. Yeah, absolutely. Really quickly before we get you out of here, tell everybody about your food blog. We've had you on about it. It's so cool.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I am a writer for I'd Come Back For That.com, and it's a food blog where me and my boyfriend Mike McNamara just go around and literally go to every restaurant and ask the waiter, what's the one thing you'd come back for? And then we write reviews. We've gone on two different trips around the United States. We've covered mostly the southern half and the eastern half of the United States. And now we're going to go towards the west next time. So we're going to try to cover the whole United States in about three trips.
I love the website. I love the blog.
Thank you.
It's terrific. It's really, really great. Check it out. I'd come back for that, .com. All right. So you guys, congratulations on your opening. And I understand you guys are getting some really nice notices.
Yeah,
we got some great reviews. One just came out tonight and then one yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what else happens.
Congratulations.
Highly recommended by Chicago Theater Review. So come on out.
Yeah. All right. Cabaret, it's at the North Central College in Naperville. It's Brightside Theater Production. The show runs through June 29th. Fridays, Saturdays at 8, and Sundays at 3, brightsidetheater.com. How do you guys feel about doing shows in the summer?
I love it.
Yeah?
Well, I'm such a huge summer stock person, like I did all throughout college, that I just feel like if it's summer, I should be doing like 5 shows back to back.
And it's early summer. It's not in like the hot and humid days.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's early summer, which is nice.
I think I should, I don't know if it's because of college or whatever, but the minute like May hits, if I'm not rehearsing for a musical, I get real worried. I'm like, or I don't have one like lined up. I'm like, isn't it musical theater time? It's musical theater time. It's summer. It's summer. It's summer. And I think I just love doing musicals in the summer. I don't know what it is.
Well, you're in one of the best right now. So
I certainly am.
Yes, you are. And you get to play Sally. That's pretty very, very, very cool. How's your boyfriend doing?
He's great. He's at home listening right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Tell him I said hi. Or I'll just say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Because, you know, if he's listening, he can hear me talk.
He just sent me a text message.
Oh, cool. Very, very cool. Jeffrey, nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
Congratulations on your success. And I hope everybody goes to see Cabaret. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3 through June 29th, North Central College in Naperville. The website is Brightside Theater. That's R-E.
That's right.
BrightsideTheater.com for more information. And thank you guys so much for coming down.
Thank you.
And anytime you guys have any projects, just let me know and come on the
awesome.
Radio.
Awesome.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. You got it. Take care. We'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.